Dr. William R. Glaze, host and teacher of the Anchored in Jesus radio program, has been the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, since July 1990. Dr. Glaze has been preaching the Word of God over the airwaves for over 20 years, and the Lord has continued to bless this ministry with an ever-widening listening audience. You are invited to attend Anchored in Jesus' fifth annual fundraiser, a luncheon cruise on Saturday, May 7th, 2016, from noon to 2:30 p.m. on board the Gateway Clipper Princess. We will be ministered to by Dr. Glaze with an inspirational word and by the music of the male chorus of Bethany Baptist Church. The cost of the cruise is just $20 per person. All funds raised through donations and sponsorships will go directly to help cover the cost to air the nightly Anchored in Jesus broadcast. The luncheon cruise will be a time of encouragement for Dr. Glaze, as well as a way to introduce new friends to this radio ministry. For more information about ways to support this ministry, call 1-877-831-5060 or visit our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. We look forward to seeing you Saturday, May 7th, 2016. And remember, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today as we break from our series, The Bible and Spiritual Gifts, for the first half of the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry.
Go to a place where people are getting more praise than Jesus, then you're in the wrong place. Thank God that we can recognize and honor. But you know what? The bottom line, if Jesus is not lifted up, nobody should be lifted up. Because I think about when we get to heaven and how that, he's going to be the focus. It's not going to be on this person or that person, but the main spotlight will be on Jesus Christ. And, we will worship him throughout eternity. So we thank God for that. There's a couple of passages I'd like to direct your attention to this morning. The first one is in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. And I would say the lesson this morning probably is going to be more teaching than it is preaching, but you know how it always ends up. I end up doing more preaching than I do teaching. Brother Scott, can you give me my glasses down there? Matthew chapter 21. And the scripture says here, and when they drew near, in verse 1, unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village opposite you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set them thereon. And there was a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. As we read this account of Jesus' life, this is what is commonly known as the triumphal entry. This passage right here introduces the last week of the life of Christ. And as we examine it, we see that this is the basis for Palm Sunday, which is what we celebrate today. As you will leave today on the way out, I instructed the ushers to give them to you on the way out and not in here, you will receive palms. And the palms are symbolic of this day when Jesus came into the city. Now, I shared a little bit last year about Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and to talk about what it really means. And, you know, we have a total misconception of what this time was really about. In the notes, if you'll read along with me, the day that we celebrate as Palm Sunday was not the triumphal entry, but it was actually the Lamb Selection Day. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you see, the reason that Jesus came to Jerusalem and rode into the city that day was to offer himself as the Lamb of God for the sins of mankind. In the book of Exodus, God told the Israelites that they were to keep the Passover for a memorial of God, sparing their lives and their firstborn and from delivering them from Egyptian bondage. Now watch this. Moses specifically told them to select a lamb on the 10th day of Nisan and kill it on the 14th day of Nisan. Christ was crucified on the 14th day of Nisan, the same day that the Passover lamb was slaughtered. As the Passover lamb was put to death for a memorial, Jesus, the lamb, was put to death for the sins of mankind. During the triumphal entry, Jesus didn't come to be applauded. Jesus didn't come to be celebrated. Jesus didn't come to be recognized. But during what we call the triumphal entry, Jesus came to offer himself as the Lamb of God. He came in recognition of the fact that he would die a death on the cross, and that he was coming not for people to celebrate him, not for people to laud him. As a matter of fact, we see here in the text, it says that the people cried, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means deliver us, save us. Who were they desiring to be saved from? They were desiring to be saved from the oppression of the Roman government. They weren't looking for salvation. They weren't looking for someone who would break the bonds of sin in their life. They were looking for someone who would liberate them from an oppressive government. And so they missed the whole point of why Jesus came. Jesus came on the same day that the lamb was selected for the Passover. How ingenious on God's part. How brilliant on God's part to send his son on the day that they selected the Passover lamb. But yet and still, we miss it. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the real account of the triumphal entry. We want to look at the real triumphal entry. As we look at the life of Jesus Christ, and we see that after he died and rose again, that he walked on the earth for many days. And as he walked on the earth for many days, he shared with the disciples. He encouraged the disciples. He instructed the disciples. And then if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We see that as he instructed the disciples, he gives them a final challenge in the book of Acts. A verse that many of us have memorized and we know and we have seen it on several occasions before. He says, but you shall receive power, he says to the disciples, after the Holy Spirit is upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, so shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go. Christ walks the face of the earth. He ministers to the disciples
And then he gives his last message. And as he gives his last message, the Bible says that he was taken up in the clouds. And that these disciples were so overwhelmed and so taken by the fact that they saw him standing on the earth 1 minute, and then the next minute, he's going up in the sky. This is what theologians call the ascension. And that is when Christ left earth and went back to heaven. And when we talk about the triumphal entry, and we talk about him riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, that wasn't a triumphal entry. The triumphal entry was when that day he left this earth and he was caught up into heaven and he went back into heaven. That's what's known as the triumphal entry. And in order for us to get the real meaning on what the triumphal entry of was, let's turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, Jesus is taken from heaven, and he's standing at the gates of heaven. And the writer says here, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. As we look at the background to this passage, there are several views as to what this scripture is addressing. Some people say that it's addressing the concept that whenever the king would come back from battle victoriously, that he would come into the city and he would have all of his entourage, and they would come and the king would stand at the gate and they would lift the gates for the king to come in. That's one view as to what this passage is referring to. A second view was, you remember when they had lost the Ark of the Covenant. And for many years, the Ark of the Covenant was not in possession of the people of Israel. And finally, they got the Ark back, and David decided to bring it back to the city. And it said that on the day that David brought back the Ark into the city of Jerusalem, that this song was sung, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." A third view comes from Revelation 3 and verse 20. And it says, when Jesus stands at the door and knocks, that if anybody will open his heart, that he will come in and sup with you. So some people say that it's referring to the heart, the human heart, that whenever you open up the human heart to receive Jesus in, that he comes in. But oh, I like the fourth view, because the fourth view says that this passage is referring to Jesus entering into the glory after the ascension, that this is a messianic passage, which means it's an Old Testament reference to Jesus Christ, and it's talking about him going back to heaven. And as he stood before the gates of heaven, somebody said there was two choirs. There was one choir on the outside, and there was another choir on the inside. And the choir on the outside said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And the choir on the inside said, "Who is the King of glory?" Now, let me say this. They weren't asking who is the King of glory because they didn't know. They were asking that for emphasis, so that the name might be emphasized. You remember, I think it was Muhammad Ali. And when he get into the boxing ring and he started beating on somebody, what would he say? "What's my name?" "What's my name?" Now, was he beating them and saying, "What's my name?" because they didn't know his name? No, they knew his name. They knew his name. He was, I'm Muhammad Ali, I'm the champ. I fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee. They knew who he was. He was saying that for emphasis. That we really need to emphasize the fact that I'm the champ and you need to acknowledge me as the champ. And so these angels or this choir on the inside, they were not saying who is the King of Glory because they didn't know. They were saying it for emphasis. But in case they didn't know, the choir on the outside says, it's the Lord strong and mighty. It's the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. Open the gates. Open the doors. Fly, let them fly open. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? It's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. As we consider Jesus entering into heaven, my brothers and sisters, I hope you hear me this morning. That was the real triumphal entry. Jesus going into Jerusalem, and I'm going to show you here in a second, that was not the triumphal entry. As a matter of fact, that was anything but a triumphal entry. But as we celebrate and as we understand the triumphal entry, let us understand it as when Christ ascended back to the Father. In your notes this morning, I point out four things. His entry to Jerusalem and his entry into heaven. We read in the book of Matthew that he entered in humility, that Jesus came in humility. The Bible says that he came riding on a donkey. Now, if he was about victory and if it was about triumph, what would he have came on? He'd have came on the biggest horse you could find. And that horse would have been getting up and getting in the wind. Jesus is not coming to say, look, I'm here. Look, you need to worship me. He's coming in all humility. As a matter of fact, if you trace his life out this week, what's going to happen? According to Philippians, it says that he would be crucified and that he would be humiliated and that he would die the death on a cross. And so he's not coming in triumph. How can you come in triumph in 1 minute and the next minute you're crucified? You know, as I tell people, what kind of savior is that? You know, we thank God that he died on the cross, but I don't need a dead savior. I need a risen savior. You know, that's what people say. You know, they say, you Christians, y'all serve a God that you don't know. You know, you say that he rose, and how do you get that? But look at all the other ones that people serve, Muhammad and Buddha and all these other ones. You know, we know where they're at. You can go to their grave, but Christians go, and there's nothing there. The tomb is empty. And so we see here that Jesus came, and he died on the cross. That was shameful, that he stood in your place. You know, as I think about my life, I should have been the one that died on that cross. I should have been the one that took that beating. You know, they took Jesus, and, you know, if you've seen that film, the Passion of Christ, and you see how they just literally ripped his back open until all of his insides were exposed, and how that they humiliated him by taking a cross of thorns and jamming it on his head, and those thorns were so sharp that they tore his skin, and blood was dripping down his face and into his eyes and matting into his beard. And then they began to slap him on his face. You talking about pride? You talking about ego? There's no pride in ego when you're being slapped around. You know, it's just like I found out, you know, what it means to be humble. And some of you have been in this same situation where you can do absolutely nothing for yourself, where you are dependent on other people for the basic necessities of even taking care of yourself, that you are dependent on other people. That's humbling, and that brings you down. And so we see that when Christ came and rode into Jerusalem, it was very humbling. But oh God, thank God that when he went into glory, it says that he entered in glory. The psalmist calls for the ancient gates of the city to be opened for the King of the Glory to come in. They are called on to lift up their heads so that the king, watch this now, The gates are called on to lift up their heads, to lift up their tops, so that the king, when Jesus rode into heaven, he could go in there with his head high. He could go in with his chest out. He could go in victoriously because he had just won the battle. You see, when he rode into Jerusalem, he still had a battle to fight. He didn't have the victory at that point. Yeah, he did miracles. He healed folk. He did all these things, but he didn't have the victory at that point. He still had to go to the cross. And when Jesus rides into heaven, he rides in there victoriously because he overcame death, hell, and the grave. And so the scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Don't let the king have to bow down and try to come in. Don't let the king have to get on his knees and try to get in. Lift up your heads so the king can strut his stuff and come on in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. There's a powerful message on humility in this. Heard the story about a young preacher who prepared his message, exegeted it, studied it, had it all together, outlined, illustrated, and he went up to preach and was conceited and egotistical, and he went up there and started preaching and got messed up on his notes, ran into some big names that he couldn't pronounce, and just bombed out on the sermon. And he left with his head down and dejected. And he went to the pastor and he said, I don't understand. He said, I studied, I prepared, and it just went to pieces on me. And the wise pastor said, if you went up like you came down, then you would have came down like you went up. You see, what was he telling him? If you went up in humility, you'll come out in victory. I don't know what it is that you're dealing with today, but there's a lesson that we can learn from Jesus in this. And that is that we have a humble spirit, that if we will humble ourselves, that Jesus will exalt us. See, you know, the problem with God's people is that too many of us are trying to get to places where we want to be recognized. You know, we're trying to get to the places where we want to be lifted up. You know, I give a testimony of, you know, the whole radio ministry. God put it on my heart to start a radio ministry. I didn't know when the ministry was going to start. I didn't know how it was going to kick off. I shared with Brother Jeff. He had just come to the church then. I said, man, God put it on my heart to start a radio ministry. And I just need somebody to agree with and somebody to pray with me. Just told him. Next week. Now, this is back in 1990. Next week, I get a check for $3,500 for the radio ministry. I called Brother Jeff. I said, man, I can't believe this. I can't believe that, you know, we're going to get started with the radio ministry. And we stayed on the radio for years and years and years. And God blessed us on the stations, you know, right here in this community and stations around this community. And we just pray. Everybody was, you know, praying and just asking God to use the ministry. I get a call from the manager, from Word. I didn't call him. He called me. He said, we'd like to get you on Word. And I'm thinking, then he told me the price. And I said, no, we can't get on Word. And I came back and I began to talk to the deacons and they began to pray. So we stepped out on faith. And God has lifted us up. And everything about this ministry, that there's been no pride, there's been no ego in this ministry. You know, praise God that we have, you know, all these big name radio ministries. They got staff, they got workers, they got all these paid people. Man, we got about 5 or 6 volunteers that love the Lord, that serve him with all their heart, and God is blessing us.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by tonight's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry. Again, that's 877-831-5060 to request the Old Testament account of the triumphal entry, or visit us at anchoredinjesus.org. Also, like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to send a financial contribution, you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.